Well, good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me? Is that working?
Sounds like sort of good enough.
Or I can yell. You know. We're going to get started here. I think we're kind of the last people between you and an airport or a hotel or a bar. So,
rational people would say, what are you doing here? My name is Paul Hahn with Citrix Systems. I'm joined with Hemant Gayadhani from VMware. What we want to share with you today is some information on the combination of Citrix Presentation Server and VMware ESX, some performance information that the VMware labs have generated relative to that combination, and some guidance as it exists on using the combination of ESX and Presentation Server. I'm going to ask, I know the answer already, how many of you run Citrix Presentation Server? Okay. If you don't, why are you here? If you don't, you should. What we're going to cover, as I mentioned, is a little bit about Citrix. I want to talk just a second off slide about some of the additional products we've brought to market here at this show relative to VMware offerings. A little bit about Presentation Server, candidates within Presentation Server for virtualization, and then we'll shift gears a bit, and Hemant will be talking about some performance studies that they've done in the combination, offering some exciting and intriguing possibilities for you as you look to architect your solutions in the combination. And we'll close with some additional observations. For those of you that are running Citrix, thank you very much. As a company, we continue to grow by satisfying customer needs in the area of application delivery. We'll be a billion-dollar corporation this year. We continue to partner well with many of the industry's leaders, a large community of successful customers. I'm going to spend just 2 seconds talking a little bit about something else we introduced at this event without a slide. How many of you have heard of VDI at this event? Something that VMware is spending quite a bit of time talking about. For those of you who are existing Presentation Server customers, I just wanted to let you know that we have a new offering or a new feature to the Presentation Server called the Desktop Broker. Desktop Broker for Presentation Server 4 is available to existing Citrix customers on Subscription Advantage. Go to My Citrix, download it, it's free of charge. Using the Desktop Broker, you can integrate into your Presentation Server environment hosted Windows XP instances running on VMware ESX. And you can utilize the exact same management mechanisms you have for Presentation Server for publishing those, if you will, hosted desktops out to communities of end users. And then from the end user perspective, you can utilize web interface or program neighborhood agent to gain access to those hosted desktops. And so we've been asked quite a bit during this event, well, should I do VDI or should I do Presentation Server? And I think the answer from us is you should do both, depending upon the specific requirement of the user and what they need, whether it be the shared application virtualization that Presentation Server provides that we'll be focusing on today, or the hosted desktop that VDI can provide. Enough of my sales pitch. In terms of the combination of VMware and Citrix as companies, there's a perception that floats around in the ether out there that we can't quite put our finger on, that we're competitors. And nothing can be farther from the truth. Citrix and VMware are partners. VMware is a member of the Citrix Solution Alliance. We're a member of the VMware VDI and TAP program. We do partner together. We have offerings in our portfolios that at times, you know, offer differing approaches to solving a business problem. But as companies, we are in fact partners. And if you walk away from nothing else from this presentation, I hope that you walk away with that impression. One of the things I have up here in terms of, I'm often asked about the support of Presentation Server on ESX. We have a support statement out on our website. We do support Presentation Server on ESX. Let me be clear about that. We will make our best effort to correct problems. Our support people have historically done changes and made fixes to Presentation Server for an ESX environment. One of our challenges is that there's a piece of software between ourselves and ESX, and we can't control their support policies relative to ESX. So we'll make our best effort to provide support in that scenario. You all know about Presentation Server, the number one application virtualization solution in the industry. You're all running it. Hopefully you're happy with it. You've all probably seen diagrams such as this. One of the characteristics of Presentation Server, particularly as you start building out your Presentation Server deployment, is that historically we've been a strong driver of scale-out deployments. That is, there tend to be a number of servers in the Presentation Server environment performing different functions, be it data stores, keeping track of information relative to users and relative to activity going on in the farm, data collectors keeping real-time activity that can be used to do load evaluation and direct users to an appropriate presentation server, licensing servers, web interface servers, etc. In a presentation server environment, as you add users, you will be adding servers, and that in turn, you know, makes presentation server a candidate many times for people looking at virtualization. And so we're going to spend some time talking about virtualizing the presentation server environment. First thing I want to share with all of you is keep in mind the following. You virtualize for many different reasons. You can virtualize to improve physical server management, to improve logical server management, maybe to do cost allocation among different users. The reason I put this up here is people will ask me, why should I virtualize presentation server on ESX? And I think most often they're thinking just in terms of single server scalability. And you know, why should I, if I'm concerned about user density, virtualize? And the answer is there are just other reasons to virtualize in addition to increasing utilization of the servers upon which you're running presentation server. And that the VMware technology is excellent at helping you build, if you will, a dynamic infrastructure that can help, you know, manage some of the costs associated with a scale-out architecture in addition to just dealing with single server scalability. So again, there are other reasons to scale, to virtualize besides just single server scalability. I covered this before. In our environment, there are some pretty obvious candidates for virtualization. I tend to call them ancillary servers, but for example, web interfaces that sit out in a DMZ, data collectors, license servers, sort of single function servers that aren't really carrying the load that a presentation server is, but is providing a service to a presentation server. I'm often asked a very simple question. How many users can I get on a presentation server when it's virtualized? I want to step back a minute and share with you, this slide is from our iForm, one of our iForm presentations 3 weeks ago from our performance team. And you know, what we advise our customers when dealing with native presentation server is essentially the power of the server, the environment that the server is installed in, the applications running on the server, how those applications are used, all will influence the single server scalability you're going to get for presentation server. And that you should create a test environment, and not just create a test environment, look at the server utilization, but create a test environment and look at really the end user experience as you add users to that server with your workload. Get an idea in terms of your workload running on a presentation server. And the point here is we have difficult time telling our users how to size native presentation server. When we add the complexity of virtualization, then you're going to hear about the same answer. You really need to do performance testing of your workload to really determine the right answer in terms of how to design a scaled environment. What I will tell you is, you know, a lot of things will impact the server scalability, configuration of the application, the clients, other software running on a server. We have a number of successful customers running the combination, happy customers. And so, you know, one message today is the combination absolutely works, but your mileage may vary depending upon your specific environment. Sort of talking about the same thing in a different way. You know, before you go virtualize presentation servers for presentation server, determine in terms of your project why you're virtualizing. If you're virtualizing for user density, understand that you may not achieve the same user density, or you may achieve better user density depending upon your workload. But don't naturally assume virtualization is going to give you better density. Right? If you're virtualizing for other reasons, utilization of the servers, or improving the management, those are absolute benefits of virtualization. And so understand that you may be giving up single server scalability to gain some of those additional benefits of virtualization. It's not a performance panacea, but it's a management aid results vary across customers, but I have a number of customers who are extremely successful because they took a methodical approach towards a project of virtualizing presentation server. And they've received some of these benefits of, you know, better able to manage growth. When you virtualize presentation servers, it's a terrific way to accelerate the provisioning of servers. So basically build servers and just blast them out onto different blades or different server form factors. So it really improves the time it takes to provision the presentation server. But it's a bit of a puzzle. We were joking about this terminology before. There are things we know about presentation server and ESX. It works. People are successfully deploying it. But the actual scalability will vary by customer environment. There are things we don't know, and I want to be clear here. I'm not saying we don't know if 64-bit works or not. We've not done any performance measurement about the combination of 64-bit virtual infrastructure, 64-bit presentation server, and 64-bit Windows. It's just a new combination. We both expect that combination to do pretty good, quite frankly, because of the absence of a memory limitation. Basically, the memory limitation is how much you want to pay for, rather than the operating system itself not being able to take advantage of that memory. But we've not had much of a chance to study that environment yet. And the thing we don't know is we don't know what the magic formula is. Every one of your workloads will be unique and different. A couple of recommendations that we do know. We always recommend use ESX or, you know, basically use a bare metal version of virtualization rather than hosted. Do not, you know, VM server and GSX are not good candidates to virtualize a presentation server on. I see, you know, one of the people here runs a blog and you know, a discussion group. I see people say, I tried to do this on GSX. My results are terrible. And I guess my answer is yes. It's much better to do ESX. As we'll see, ESX has better management tools, better memory management, has optimizations built into it to deal with a terminal services style workload. VMware spent a lot of time looking at that workload to understand what they needed to do in the product. So that's really the product you should go for rather than some of the smaller products. In terms of performance, again, the overhead of the virtual machine depends heavily on the applications you're running. We always recommend you test the environment. Buried in here is actually another recommendation. Don't use virtual SMP, but always try and associate an instance of presentation server on a VM rather than have presentation server trying to take advantage of a virtual SMP. Another thing to do is you look at using the combination is try and distribute your workloads among virtual machines. Don't have one VM on a system sort of getting all of the user load rather than spreading it across. Now, one of the things independent of VMware that I will talk about is in our Ohio release for Presentation Server, or Presentation Server 4.5, which is in beta now, will be available in the first half of next year. We're making some changes to our load management subsystem to sort of help avoid, I think, the problem this chart is talking about. That is, users being directed just to a single machine in a farm and basically killing that machine. I sort of call it a black hole where you just, at login, everyone goes to one machine. It dies, response slows down, people are unhappy. We're actually working on that ourselves in our own technology. It'll apply to the virtualization environment. We have multiple guest OSs and multiple instances of CPS. We'll be better able to distribute load across those with upcoming versions of Presentation Server. Lots of choices when going to virtualizing Presentation Server. Single, dual, quad systems are now available from vendors using single, dual, and soon to be quad cores on those sockets. We're going to present a case here that for a four-socket machine, there's some unique benefits for virtualization with the combination. But we really don't know what is an optimal decision point in terms of number of cores and number of CPUs. We do know that the combination loves memory, so try and provision lots of memory into your combination. Think about also if you're virtualizing a presentation server, this is sort of standard Citrix advice, data stores and data collectors, that the performance of a data store, particularly for larger forms, will be influenced by the CPU power of the server that you put it on. Likewise, the data collector, since data collectors are collecting real-time information so they can do appropriate load balancing, memory and CPU usage will influence the ability for the data collectors to respond. So you may want to look at where you've got those virtualized and whether you've got too much load on the system upon which you've also virtualized data stores. For presentation server, what I would tell you is look at dual or quad socket servers. Don't try and virtualize presentation server on a single socket system. And again, also don't use virtual SMP on those systems. A good candidate for virtualization would be environments where you're in a 32-bit mode and you're running into some kernel memory limitations or registry size limitations. If you can't go to a 64-bit version of our product and operating system, this is a good candidate for virtualization, because the ability to create multiple guests on larger memory systems is a way to get around some of the inherent Windows 2003 limitations. What we're going to talk about a lot about is four CPU. That seems to be a pretty good target for virtualization of the combination, and Hemet will spend some time sharing why. I'm going to shut up here and just sort of show you another slide from our performance studies we do at iForum. You know, when we talk to customers, this is what we say they'll achieve in a 32-bit environment in terms of scale-up going to multiple sockets, moving from a single socket to a dual socket system, and a dual socket to a quad socket system. As you can see, there's a diminishing return for presentation server native going to systems that have more CPUs. Again, this is in the 32-bit environment. Well, I'm going to turn over to Hemet now. He'll talk about some of the benefits you can see in this environment with ESX and presentation server.
Can you hear me? So what I'm going to do is talk about the performance improvements that are in VI3, which are specific to Citrix. There have been many sessions around here which talked about performance improvements in VI3, best practices, and what you should do and all those things. I'm not going to go into details about all those things. I'm just going to point you out to a couple of improvements which actually help the Citrix presentation server very much in the virtualization environment. Before I go there, a quick show of hands. How many of you are still running CPS in ESX21 or ESX25? Not a lot of you. How about running inside VI3? Or are you planning to run inside VI3? Okay. So for those of you who are actually running CPS inside ESX2.1 or 2.5, if you aren't convinced to upgrade to VI3, I'll tell you one more reason to actually move to VI3. When Citrix and VMware started doing performance testing around the Citrix presentation server in virtualized environments, initially what we found out was we could only scale so much. And that was essentially because of the shadow page tables that ESX maintains. Essentially, in a CPS environment where you have multiple users running different applications, we're talking about creating multiple address spaces here. Now, when you're doing memory virtualization, ESX essentially maintains copies of the page tables or shadow page tables. You probably heard it in the general session or, some other presentations. In the initial releases of ESX, essentially we would just run out of those page tables in the internal data structures, and you could not really scale enough. So one of the things that they did in ESX21 was to actually start sizing these internal data structures automatically. And the way you do it was to actually set up this option in the virtual machine configuration file, workload equal to terminal services. So if you are still running ESX21 or 2.5, I would recommend you to actually go back and set this option if you haven't really done that. The idea here is, it will actually help you resize the internal data structures as it suggests. Now that we have actually been through two dot releases, 2.1, 2.5, we pretty much know that this option is working very well. So starting in VI3, this feature is actually provided out of the box. So you don't really have to go back and reset those things. So that's why if you're already on VI3, you probably, if you didn't know about it, just, ignore that. Doesn't matter if you didn't know about it. And what we also found out is, this option is also good for all the other environments which also create a lot of processes. So, and that's why it was actually made a default option. The second improvement that I want to point you out to is the latencies that we have improved. So essentially, a typical CPS environment actually stresses the memory management unit inside the processor a lot more than other workloads. And when they were analyzing the improvements, they found that there are a lot of opportunities that they can actually improve performance. So some of the things that they did was improve the latencies in this MMU operations. Just to give you an example, every time there is a context switch, there is a MMU underscore flush call which is happening, a system call that is happening. So things like that, they have actually improved some latencies around that, and that has also drastically improved the performance of CPS in VI3. So how do we go about and validate the improvements? So we actually ran a set of performance tests in our labs, and the idea essentially, the two goals that we had was to showcase the improvements that we have in VI3 over 2.5. And the second thing was, even though there is virtualization overhead, we are trying to now actually, by having multiple virtual machines, achieve near native or even sometimes better than native scalability by having multiple guests. So for our test that we did in-house, we used the Citrix server test kit. As many of you are probably aware of, there are normal users and power users inside the Citrix server test kit, and we use the normal users and use only the standard Microsoft Word only. Whatever the predefined scripts that are there for the Word application, we use that. Before I move on and talk about the actual results, one of the things I do want to caution here, and Paul actually told you multiple times, in real world, the number of users that actually you support will very much depend upon what applications you are using and what is the concurrency level and the activity level. This is very important, and reiterating that here, because unlike other benchmarks, typical Citrix environment, you can basically run any application that you're looking for. So if you're running other benchmarks, like for example, Oracle Apps or SAP or something like that, it's pretty much a standard benchmark kit that you run, and you would actually go about, publishing numbers based on this, do some sizing and capacity planning based on that. When you're performance benchmarking for the Citrix environment or any terminal services environment, the challenge is to actually figure out what is the right applications that you're running. The standard benchmark kits that are available to us, for any performance benchmarking, is essentially the Citrix Server Toolkit or the Microsoft Terminal Services Toolkit. And if you look at that, essentially the applications they use are the Microsoft Office applications, essentially the Office productivity applications that they have. And when I was talking to people here at VMworld, I found that people are actually going way beyond this standard Office applications. I heard somebody who was trying to actually run test and dev applications using the J2E application containers. If you are going to run those kind of applications here, the numbers that you see in this benchmark reports, any terminal services benchmark report or the CPS, even within native, they're not going to match. It's going to be completely apples to oranges. So the best way for you, what I would suggest is if you are running any of this, the non-traditional users inside CPS environment, the best thing for you is to just do your own benchmarking. There is no easy way out of that. So here is the test configuration that we used. We had a 4-socket dual-core server, one of the latest servers with 32 gigabits of RAM. We had the standard 1 GB PS NIC, which is standard nowadays with the server, but we didn't really saturate the network. The client was another 2.2 gigahertz two-way box. We used 4 clients, basically used the Citrix Server Toolkit client launcher on all the 4 clients to launch the users. The important thing here is the configuration for the guest. Each of the guests was a single vCPU and use 3.5 gigabits of RAM. And again, as Paul mentioned earlier, we use the 32-bit versions both for the operating system and for the Citrix presentation server. And again, the reason, we have plans to do the 64-bit testing next. At the point when we are doing this testing, the 64-bit support, the guest support was still experimental in VI3, and that's the reason the first step was obviously to try it with 32-bit. So one of the things, going back here, as far as the guest configuration for Paul already mentioned that we actually recommend not to use virtual SMP, and that is something which we validated during our testing. So the first idea was we would actually find a sweet spot, use a guest with one virtual CPU, two virtual CPU, and four virtual CPUs, and basically see at what point, in what configuration, we're actually getting better scalability. And it turned out that one virtual CPU was the best configuration. So what was the test methodology? Essentially, the idea was to find out how many users we can support with 80% CPU utilization. Again, 80% is something which we picked up. I mean, typical, I mean, number is, I mean, 75%, 80%, and this is something which you would hear from, I mean, different vendors. And the idea here is that the extra 20% you want to leave free is for any bursty workloads or peak workloads there. The success criteria that we had was obviously all the users should run successfully. The challenge that we had in this case was if you're trying to run several hundred users, the traditional way of validating if the clients are running successfully does not work quite well. That is, I mean, if you have the clients' windows up in, on each of the clients, you can't really go and look at all the several hundred clients that are out there and actually monitor whether each one of them is running successfully or not. So the approach we did was we actually parsed the output logs. So each user that runs actually writes out a start iteration record and an end iteration record. And we basically went into the output logs and parsed those logs to make sure the user run has been successful or not. And of course, we want to stay within the CPU utilization goal that we had published. The workload definition, I just have it here just in case you are not familiar with the Citrix normal user there. Essentially, the user logs in regulator manner. If you're familiar with the toolkit, there is an advanced tab out there which basically tells, okay, I mean, how you ramp up the users. Each user opens up a Word document, types in for a few minutes, and then pauses. And we basically run each user for 80 iterations in this case. We stop the test, so all the users logged in, and then we run for a steady state of 30 minutes, and then we stop the test. So that's basically the methodology how you run the test. One thing I do want to point out here is, like any other automation testing tool, I mean, the users, the way they log in and the way they do their work in this environment, this benchmarking environment, is pretty uniform and predictable. This is something you have to keep in mind when you're actually dealing with a real-life situation. Just to give you an example, for example, I mean, if you're talking about Exchange, I mean, people come in the morning, everybody wants to check their email. Probably they do the same thing after they come after their lunch, and then you again see another another bursty workload there. So that's something which you have to definitely keep in mind about. That's a limitation with, I mean, it's not a limitation. A lot of the testing tools do have ways to program that thing, and I just want you to keep in mind, maybe you, I mean, whatever testing tool that you use, you look for such option, or you account for that after you look at your results. Yes?
Can I just ask, when the user logs on and gets their app, is it actually using Citrix's load balancing features to work out which server to use? The old server test kit didn't do that.
No, not in this case here. Yeah, this is the older version of the test kit that we use. Yeah,
so it's not leveraging load
right.
balancing.
We are not. Yeah, we're not doing that here in this case. Yeah. So here are the numbers which I want to share with you. Again, if you look at the left-hand side y-axis, that's basically the number of users. The red or the pink line, as the projector shows it, I mean, you could see that on the ESX 2.5, we could support 80 users with this Microsoft Word-only workload that we used. And when we moved to ESX 3.0, we could actually support 140 users. So that's a dramatic improvement that we actually saw. And the y-axis on the right-hand side shows the CPU utilization for that single virtual CPU. And in both cases, it's around 80%. So with the same kind of CPU utilization for the virtual CPU, we actually see almost double scalability here. And again, I want to caution you here is this is just for the Microsoft Word-only workload that we use. So if you are trying to use other workloads, if you're trying to use some non-standard workloads here, You may not necessarily see this kind of improvement, but definitely, I mean, I can tell you that, I mean, with the improvements that have gone in place, you should be able to see improvements, much better results than that you have seen in ESX 2.1 or 2.5 environment. Just to point out one more thing, the tests for both ESX 2.5 and 3.0 were done on the same test configuration. So it was the same test hardware which I showed earlier. We initially installed 2.5 on that, ran the test, got the numbers, and that got the baseline essentially, and then moved the machines to 3.0 environment. And here is the scalability with multiple virtual machines. So like I said earlier, one of the goals was, I mean, people, yes, they always mention there is virtualization overhead, I mean, compared to native. And that is a fact, I mean, when you're adding a layer in there. So what we wanted to also verify in this case was how can we scale up better if you add multiple virtual machines on the same ESX box. I mean, here we have a 4-socket dual-core machine. So essentially, we could go up to 8 virtual machines, each one of them having a single virtual CPU. So you can see that we actually achieved near native scalability in this case, going up to almost a little over 1,100 users in the same environment, doing the same Microsoft Word workload that we did. And the right-hand side y-axis here now shows the ESX CPU utilization for the entire ESX server. So we are right about around 85% for that box, which is, again, I mean, if you take the same CPU utilization goal that we had for a single virtual CPU, we kind of are in the ballpark there as well. So as you can see, I mean, we did pretty good improvements for both a single virtual machine scalability as well as, I mean, scaling up with multiple virtual machines. And again, I mean, I would strongly recommend that, I mean, you run in your environment, you should run these things with whatever other workloads that you're trying to do and verify it for yourself. One last thing before I hand it back to Paul. The results for all this performance testing are published in a white paper. The white paper should be on the VMware website. I mean, I was hoping that it should be there before the VMworld, but again, with all the activity that we have around VMware, hopefully it should be there, I mean, by next week. If not, just ping me or Paul, and I'll make sure that it's definitely out there. You definitely have an access to it. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you.
Sure.
On this slide, what machine were you using? This is a 4-way processor?
It's the same machine. So
4 CPUs?
Four sockets, dual core. So we're talking about total 8 cores.
Eight cores.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things, and I think Paul will also mention
32 gigs of RAM.
32 gigs of RAM. Each virtual CPU had 3.6 gigabits of RAM. Again, I mean, the idea here, I mean, was that initially when we scale up to 8 virtual CPUs, we may actually starve the console operating system, and that's why we didn't really allocate all the 4 gigabytes to the virtual machine. But now that, I mean, after the fact, we realized that we actually left out just too much memory out there. But I don't think the memory was an issue for this benchmark. One thing to point out, for processor affinity, Paul will talk about as one of the recommendations. In this case, up to 6 virtual machines, we didn't really have any issues with the setting of processor affinity. Whether you set it or not, the results were almost similar. For the 8 virtual machines, when we ran that, we had to set processor affinity to get the numbers that we are there. I mean, so we actually found that, I mean, processor affinity did help in that case.
So a couple of other points to close on, things that we've heard in the community, people who are trying to do the combination of presentation server and VMware. First, there are some processor tuning applications that you can get from third parties and actually some technology within presentation server 4. None of us really tested the impact those may have on the combination. If you do utilize those technologies, and this is advice from the RapidApp guys, we're going to take a look at some of the end user experience, that is, how is the end user getting, what is the response time the end user is getting rather than just looking at the back end CPU utilization? One thing to point out about this test is this is sort of a back end looking out test at the servers rather than an
user experience, looking into the capability. Hamed talked about for older versions of ESX, switch to turn on for terminal server workload. In terms of configuring the guest operating systems, what we say here is disable COM and visual effects. The reality is disable anything you don't need in the guest operating system, CD-ROMs, anything that doesn't need to be dealt with by the operating system, turn it off. Strip down the operating system configuration of the guest to the minimum that you need. In terms of VM tools, there's a capability called memory ballooning. Turn that off. It doesn't really do anything. In fact, it causes ESX to go spend its time doing other things rather than servicing terminal server workload. As mentioned, processor affinity may or may not help. In this test here, it didn't help to a point, and it began to provide some benefits. There was another presentation earlier this week by a VMware employee from Germany who did his own testing, and he talks about turning off hyper-threading, and the advice is that may or may not work as well, again, depending upon your workload. The point here is there's knobs and dials, and for your workload, things may help, things may not help, depending on how you want to spread the load across CPUs. Yes?
Yes, we did.
Question is, do you have hyper-threading on? The answer is yes, it was on. So just sort of in conclusion, we would both stand up and argue that there are benefits to virtualizing the presentation server environment on ESX. Not native scalability, but management benefits beyond that. And that it, in fact, does work, but you're going to have to do some work on your part to sort of validate your workloads to make it work properly. And configure it to the hardware you've chosen to support that workload. Never mind, there's no more sessions. and thank you for your time. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Can I ask what what Citrix position is on P2P of legacy based Citrix farms? So people who are still running MT4, MetaFrame 1.8, or even versions of MetaFrame XP still, and want to virtualize them. Is that something that Citrix will support, or approve, or doesn't approve?
So let me first repeat the question. The question is, what is Citrix's position on P2V, or basically support of older presentation server environments, MetaFrame 1.8, et cetera, on virtualization? So from a P2V perspective, I have to honestly admit we're ignorant of P2V and how that impacts the Citrix environment. It's nothing that we test in our own environment. We test in our third level labs in the UK, presentation server, new releases of presentation server on ESX. We use that in our problem determination lab. We don't deal with P2V. As far as our support statement for older versions of presentation server, again, we'll make our best effort to resolve those issues on older versions if those issues are supported normally. Right? Because again, we've begun to retire some of the older versions of presentation server and support for those versions. So if it's retired as a standard presentation server Citrix offering, we're not going to be able to support it beyond.
I did have another question as well.
Okay, there was one question here, and then I'll get back to you.
So it looks like from some of the stuff that you said that it kind of boiled down to one instance of a Citrix presentation server to one core, one physical core. Is that correct assumption?
Basically one virtual CPU, so that's one core.
Well, one virtual CPU, but I could have 20 instances on a physical box, so I guess I'm trying to relate how many instances you had per physical box, and it looked like the magic number was one.
1:1, yes. Yeah, once you start over-committing, then the performance the throughput is going to go down.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the recommendations about processor affinity might help you. I think people need to be aware that processor affinity is incompatible with vMotion. So once you actually peg a virtual machine to a specific CPU, you can't vMotion it anymore. So you have to un-affinitize it, vMotion, and then re-affinity. It can be done, but it's a bit of a pain in the butt if you go down that route. It means changing the configuration just to do the vMotion.
Okay. Good advice. Question back here.
Is the affinity used because of server console, or is that some other reason?
No, it's just that. I mean, all the runs that we did were basically using processor affinity and without processor affinity, and we just saw that in this case, I mean, the numbers that we got with processor affinity were better than the other ones without. Exactly. For each of those runs that we did it both ways. I don't remember off the top of my head right now. I'll have to go and look at all the data which is there. Yeah.
I spent a little bit. I'll tell you more than you'll be here till this evening.
I don't want to hijack the session, but the stats you showed, I was quite surprised at them, especially the ESX2 stats. And I wondered whether we could have a straw poll of people here who maybe are running presentation server under VMware, whether their numbers look anything like the numbers that were on screen.
I can answer that.
Is that something we can do? Does anybody have numbers that are similar to what they saw on screen?
But again, let me be clear here.
Sure, sorry.
It's a very light workload designed to sort of prove the point that configurations that are a benefit for ESX. We would both stand here and say, I think we said it many times in the presentation.
I know.
Heavier workloads will create heavier results.
Oh yeah.
And this is a classic benchmark. You benchmark to get some kind of predictor of how behavior may be in real life. Real life is unique, and we believe both companies actually understand that.
Yeah, I mean that's essentially the challenge. I mean, how do you design this thing? It's like very difficult to design the workload in this case, unlike other benchmarks.
Everyone would raise their hand and go, I don't get that. I don't get that with native presentation server. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said you get 50? Yeah, with the overall. What are you running on? Now, this is a number I've seen an awful lot on the forums. This magic number 15 as like being a cut-off point under ESX2. So when I saw 50 on the list, I was like, whoa, where are the numbers coming from? But again, you don't know what they're running. So maybe I'm just seeing all the bad situations, because all you see in the forums are people's problems, not... people don't go to the forums and say, hey, I'm having a great time.
And here's how I did it.
And then as I did it, they say, hey, I'm having a terrible time. So it's a bit difficult to judge what people's experiences really are.
Sure, great. You had a question back here?
The title of the talk is optimization, and perhaps maybe next year, more the lab work that would involve multiple NICs and vSwitch, VLANs, where the patient and some of these things are taking place inside ESX. Virtual environment with the external clients coming in and against the data collector and the data store.
That's great advice. We'll take that in.
So that's a very valuable solution. So that's something which we are discussing right now as to what is the next step that we do. There are things like, okay, should we have a heavier workload? Should we try the 64-bit? Should we go and try some of these other extra features that are in VI3? So we would actually really appreciate your feedback as to what you would like to see next, because there's things which are, there are discussions happening internally about that.
Somebody ask him about Access Gateway in a virtual machine.
Oh, you just doing that for me. You didn't like the answer the first time I gave you.
I'm only teasing.